Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My mother made a banner for every one of her grandchildren's baptisms, right? She actually tried to be at every one of them that she possibly could. When she came to the twins' baptism, our twins' baptism, she said, "Hey, you're halfway there." She had 8 children. We had 4. I said, "Mom, your record's safe." But she made a banner for every one of them, all right? It was either pink or blue, right? The name of her grandchild, the name of the child that was on the top of it, there was either a dove or a shell in the middle of it. And then part of this morning's reading from Isaiah, "I have called you by name, you are mine." These were wonderful pieces to mark those baptisms. They also were a wonderful reminder for me of the true power in baptism. God claims each of us as his own child. We are God's. On this day, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, all right? It is no longer Christmas. 12th day of Christmas was on Wednesday. So that means that Epiphany was Thursday, the day when we and the world around us celebrate the coming of the Magi. It's not Christmas any longer, but we still celebrate the incarnation of God's love in Jesus Christ. It's not yet Easter, but we still celebrate the resurrection and the depth of God's love for us in repairing our broken relationship and allowing us to follow Jesus in love. Today, we celebrate Jesus' humanity and its brush with divinity as God appears in order to name and to claim Jesus as his own. On this day, God's relationship with humanity changed in that God's word through the prophets was replaced by God's voice, the voice of God the Son, Jesus Christ. Also, by being baptized, Jesus completely changed baptism from a ritual, symbolic kind of washing and sealing into a sacrament where God comes to us and claims us as his own. We are welcomed into God's family and given a new chance at life. You see, for centuries, the primary conduit for the voice of God to humankind was the prophets. From people like Moses through to the United Kingdom in Israel, through all of the exiles and beyond, God spoke to humanity through the prophets. It actually defined them as prophets because prophets are those who carry a message from God. But from the testimony of the prophets, we learned what God was all about, encouraging us to care for the widows and the orphans, for the outcasts and the strangers, directing us to live in faith and not grasping for the most for ourselves. The prophet's voice would comfort those who were afflicted, left out, abandoned by the world, dragged from their homes. Like in Isaiah today, as we are reminded that God is our Redeemer, these are words for comfort. But a prophet's voice would also afflict the comfortable ones, those with the surpluses and the means to take advantage of either circumstances or other people. God's voice rang out trying to bring all of us back to God and attempting to help us to live beyond our brokenness into God's wholeness and light. Jesus' baptism changed that. John the Baptist was another one of those great prophets leading many to repentance and to changing their living. He encouraged a change of living and not just a new posture. John, though, testified to one greater than he who was coming, to whom John was pointing us all towards. With Jesus' baptism, God himself began to speak to humanity in the person of Jesus Christ. No longer were the prophets the most effective means of communication between God and humanity, because now we have the Word. The Word who became flesh so that we might see and hear and know God. We are encouraged to listen to Him. God changed the way He spoke with all of us. But that isn't the only, nor is it perhaps even the most important thing that changed on this day. Because historically, baptism was a ritual washing and a sealing for the baptized. After Jesus, it became much more than that. Ritual purity was and is a very important part of Jewish tradition. Kosher laws, holiness codes, ritual washings and ablutions, who or what can be touched and how long it takes after touching in order to be able to return to community. These were all essential parts of staying ritually pure and ritually clean. Baptism in its earliest use was another symbolic form of washing, like an ablution and other things. It was to help, aid, and make one clean and pure. John's baptism was this kind of ritual washing. It was also a sealing of the baptized. John's message was one of repentance. And those baptized were those who had repented of their sinfulness, repented of their former lives. John washed these and cleansed them from these repented sins. But John also sealed them into a new life of repentance. But Jesus' baptism changed all this. When Jesus was baptized, there was not only a washing and a sealing, but God came and claimed Jesus as His beloved Son. Jesus was ritually cleansed at John's baptism. And you may wonder, like I do many, many times, was that really necessary? Did Jesus have to wash Himself clean from a past life? But you see, it was necessary, but not for the same way it is for us. Jesus knew the ritual laws, and Jesus made sure that He was like us in all respects. Jesus entered into the Jordan River so He could join all of us. And when He came out of that water, His life also was sealed in John's baptism. Like the others John had baptized, Jesus' life was changed, and His new purpose was granted to Him. His ministry began that day. Jesus left His former life and stepped down a road to show us all the breadth and depth of God's love for us all. Jesus' baptism was more than that as well, though, because in His baptism, God came down and claimed Jesus as His own. Now, this is important to you and me because baptism was not only changed for Jesus. In that moment, it was changed forever. When we were baptized, we were not only ritually washed and sealed, God came and claimed each of us, each one of us, as His own. I have called you by name. You are mine. Christ's life, His death, His resurrection made His baptism our baptism. We die with Christ and we rise again with Christ in those waters. Through Jesus' resurrection, our baptism has brought our relationship to God to its fullest by God's grace alone. In baptism, God claims us and makes us His own. Isaiah tells us through the word of the Lord that I have called you by name, you are mine. We belong to God. The first baptism I ever did was at St. Luke's Hospital in Fargo, North Dakota. Lovely place. Spent a whole year there one summer. On one of the floors where I was a chaplain, there was an older lady. She was in her late 80s, and she was dying. In our conversations, she had told me that while she had made sure that all of her children were baptized, she had never been. And she had always doubted God's presence in her life. She told me that she strove to live a life of grace and goodness, but was never certain that Jesus cared for her, never knew that God's love was really fully hers. I told her that it would be my privilege to baptize her, but she worried that it was too late, that she could no longer live the life required after baptism. And I told her that God doesn't need our baptism in order to love us. We need our baptism in order to know that it's true. It's never too early nor too late. And so we scheduled the time when her children could be with her, and I was honored to baptize her there in her hospital room. And in that moment, God claimed her as his own. It's not that God had ignored her or not cared for her or cared about her, but it was in that moment that she knew that she belonged to God. She was God's child, and now she knew it, felt it, and was overwhelmed by the joy of it. So it is with all of us. Yes, in our daily remembrance of baptism, we can wash ourselves clean and rededicate our lives to love and care for others. But in that moment of our baptism, we were named and claimed as God's own child. God looks at us and says, "You are my child, a beloved, and with you I am well pleased." God enters our lives in the love of Jesus so that we don't merely have a list of things that we need to do, but rather we have the love of God as inspiration, guiding us to lives that build God's kingdom for the world around us. We celebrate Jesus' baptism because through it, our baptism is more than we have ever, ever thought. And from that baptism, we have hope, always hope in the love of our God. Amen.